stay with us.
This is 5 Eyewitness News at 10.
Cars were exploding. Kind of reminds me of a 9/11 type of feel.
Just a rumble.
All right, you are listening to the Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP, St. Paul in Minneapolis. I'm Dave Thompson. The Twins, of course, are not being broadcast on the station tonight due to the bridge collapse that occurred on 35W in Minneapolis. Just to get you up to speed on the happenings, at approximately 6:05 this evening, the bridge collapsed. And obviously there have been emergency and rescue teams on the site ever since that point. There are numerous sources now, including CNN, including the Associated Press, and others reporting that 6 are dead and 41 are injured. However, the official report from the Hennepin County Medical Center is 1 death, 22 injured seriously but not critically, and I believe it was 6 injured critically. So we're updating that information. We are going to be here all night. I will be cutting in with frequent live updates approximately once every half hour or a little bit more often. But for the most part, we'll be having you listen to the feed from our sister station, 5 Eyewitness News, and you will be getting the live coverage from the scene there. We do want to update a couple of things on the Minnesota Twins. The game was held tonight because of the fact that when this occurred, most of the people that were headed for the game already had arrived at the Metrodome. The decision was made by Twins management that it was it made sense to keep the people in the Metrodome rather than to send them out and cause traffic problems for the emergency workers on the scene. Now, the game for tomorrow has been postponed. The Twins were supposed to play the fourth game of a four-game series against the Kansas City Royals at 12:10 at the Metrodome, and that game has been postponed. Will most likely be made up when the Kansas City Royals make a return trip to the Twin Cities later this fall. Also, tomorrow's groundbreaking for the new stadium has been canceled and will, I should say, postponed. It, of course, will be rescheduled. It has been postponed. So that is what we've got going on here. Just a little bit of information regarding what's going on with the rescue effort and all that sort of thing. 3 Salvation Army mobile feeding units, along with more than a dozen emergency responders, are on the scene at the 35W collapse. One vehicle is stationed on the university side, stationed at 2nd Street Southeast at 8th Avenue, and another one on the Washington Avenue side at 1201 West River Road. The third is at the recovery area of 354 East River Parkway. The primary focus will be to provide food and water for emergency personnel on site. So if you're out there or you know someone's out there that may be looking for this help, be sure to let them know that is the situation. Governor Tim Pawlenty spoke earlier indicating that obviously there will be a state and federal investigation into this thing. And that is essentially what we know at this point. We are now going to return you to continuing coverage on KSTP Channel 5 Eyewitness News. And we'll be giving you another update here from the talk station at about 10:30. I'll be in here live until 5 o'clock, at which time Willie and Jay and the rest of the crew, Kenny, will be in the morning to start the morning show. So you don't need to turn that dial. You'll be getting a continued stream of live coverage from the site, as well as kind of summary updates from me throughout the night. So stick around, and we'll give you the very latest.
Out alive. The stories I heard of people falling head down, straight down, they walked away with hardly any injuries. The northernmost point of the bridge break, it collapses and 6 cars pile on top of each other.
I swear I saw construction workers suspended in the air.
Melissa Hughes was in the red car when the ground fell out beneath her and a pickup truck fell onto her roof.
Just kind of that feeling, that free fall feeling. It felt like we did that twice. And I heard a loud, at that time I just stomped on the brake and held my steering wheel and then heard a loud smash and saw my back window break.
Amazingly, she walked out of that car unscathed. Up ahead, Angela Wong and her son fell into the bridge's center break.
I just couldn't believe it, that we can walk out of there like just with minor scratches because our car is like total.
Cuts and scrapes, Angela says she watched as the overhead signs on the bridge suddenly fell.
The next thing I saw was the roll kind of wave, like in a wave, and we were just, we were going head down.
I just was hoping that I wouldn't get hurt when we hit because we were like going straight down.
Again, a mother and son caught in the worst of the bridge break walk away.
We were just really lucky because like our cars is just, if you like look at it, it's like unbelievable that we could just like get out of, and walk out of something like that.
Unbelievable stories tonight. Earlier tonight, we have seen the FBI and Secret Service people investigating this rubble. The police just took out four bomb-sniffing dogs. They were going through the wreckage, of course, as well. That's the very latest here on the North End. Reporting live, Allison Triarce, 5 Eyewitness News.
Kid said it all. He doesn't know how it happened. Our reporters arrived quickly on the scene. Glenn Barber saw many of the people who were injured, talked to others who watched all of this happen. He's live with their stories at 10th and University. Glenn?
Yeah, John, you know, we've talked to a number of people who were on the bridge when this thing happened. One woman was lucky. She actually saw one of the streetlights like that shaking, and she slammed on her brakes before she got down. But as a number of emergency crews continue to deal with this catastrophe, what strikes me is the help that the first aid that came from the people who were on the bridge as it went down. Many of them already injured themselves.
And the whole bridge just gave out and just completely fell.
Gary Barbineau headed to his Blaine home, stuck on the 35W bridge in bumper-to-bumper traffic.
At first, I didn't know what was happening. Dust just started coming up everywhere. And then I realized that the bridge is going down, and it just fell all the way down. I'm just lucky I wasn't over the water.
Barbineau first rescued himself, then headed to a nearby school bus, packed with screaming children, a youth group headed home from a field trip.
Me and about two or three other men were actually taking the kids off of the bridge and, you know, actually lifting them down because, you know, the bridge was completely down.
Paramedics cared for children on the shores of the Mississippi River. A UPS man also emerged from the wreckage. Crews from around the metro rushed to the scene to relieve citizens near the bridge who, in this case, were first to respond.
They actually had to find a place to jump off because the bridge where it actually broke was about 10 feet up in the air.
Yeah, people tell us that they literally had to climb up that 45-degree angle from the bridge to get off of it and onto the shore where those emergency responders were to help them. Just in the last couple of minutes, we saw a number of canine dogs walk down to the river's edge, presumably to clear that situation down there. Coming up later in this newscast, we hope to hear from one of the adults who was on that school bus and what he went through. Pretty frightening. For now, I'm Glenn Barber reporting live in Minneapolis, 5 Eyewitness News.
Yeah, taking us through all of that, you can see why we are going to have a national contingent joining us tomorrow. But on the phone right now, one member of that, Senator Coleman. We've already talked to Senator Klobuchar. Hello, Senator. Thanks for joining us.
Good evening. Very tough night for the folks in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, when did you hear of this news?
I was actually having a conversation with our ambassador to the United Nations, Zalmay Khalilzad, and talking about the Middle East when I got the page on my BlackBerry that what had happened, and literally told the ambassador that I'd have to cut the conversation short. I had to get back to the office, came back, called the governor, spoke with him, wanted to make sure he knew that whatever the federal resources we needed, they'd be available. Then I got in touch with Secretary of Transportation, Mary Peters. I'll be arriving with her. We're leaving 5:30 tomorrow morning. Senator Klobuchar will be on that flight, and Congressman Ellison. And then I talked to Mark Rosenkerr. He's the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB. He was actually in Florida. He got a plan to fly him down. He probably should be landing in the Twin Cities soon. So first and foremost, emergency response. But then we have to figure out why this happened, a full forensic review. And then also transportation is working on transportation plan, since obviously this is a major thoroughfare, and then those issues will have to be dealt with. So first, emergency response, but there are other questions that will have to be answered quickly.
Senator, in the next couple of days, when you get here, in the couple of days following that, what will we see the federal government doing for the people here, and also in terms of the inspection and investigation?
Well, two things. One, whatever is needed in terms of additional resources, that will come from the governor. The federal government stands ready, willing, and able to step forward. They'll be working right away with the state people, as I said before, on the transportation piece. So this is a major thoroughfare in the Twin Cities, so they're going to have to deal with that. But I think then beyond the emergency response, most critical is what Secretary Peters, you know, called a full forensic review. And in talking to Chairman Rosenkrantz, you know, obviously they're concerned, why did this happen? As I understand it, the governor told me this bridge had been structurally inspected in 2004 with that indication of a problem. Yearly inspections after that, more surface reviews. We have to figure out why this happened. Obviously, and just listening to, you know, the newscast before, the FBI and other federal authorities are also involved. I've spoken to Homeland Security also tonight. There's no indication of any terrorist activity, but clearly that angle also has to be checked out.
Senator, one final note here. For years, there has been growing concern voiced about the safety of the nation's bridge and interstate system. Are you fearful this is one of the bad examples?
We'll find out. Clearly, we have major issues with infrastructure. It's been a passion of mine. I'm a former mayor, both in rural and urban settings, and so this has been a major concern of mine. Let's get focused on this. Again, prayers to those who have been impacted, emergency response, but then there will be a full federal review as to the cause of this, and let us hope that this is not the beginning of revealing all sorts of structural infirmities. Let's sort it out first. But again, my thoughts and prayers with those who have been, you know, personally devastated by this horrific incident.
Senator, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
All right. This area just blocks from the U of M campus, the Twin Cities West Bank campus. The university released a statement about a half hour ago saying it is supporting the recovery efforts and the well-being of those affected by this tragedy is of paramount concern to the university. By the way, the U will be open tomorrow.
Now, Hennepin County Medical Center is a nerve center right now. This is where many of the victims are going. Beth Jett has been monitoring the situation all evening long. Beth, bring us up to date, please.
Yes, Cindy, I just got a final update from the senior medical personnel inside just a moment ago. Dr. Joseph Clinton saying four people have undergone surgery now throughout the evening for internal injuries. No more fatalities to report to you here. The people who were critically injured have been stabilized. However, they are still in critical condition. A total of 16 people were rushed here, one person dead, and still the staff here is expecting more victims will walk in tonight. Covered in blood, faces of fear, one by one, arriving from medical help.
Traumatic injuries.
As patients arrived, relatives scrambled in to find their loved ones.
My wife is driving the school bus.
Have you heard from her?
Yeah, she's fine, but...
What did she tell you?
She said her knee is hurt.
After a couple of hours, medical personnel spelled out the scene.
We have 22 yellow, which means they have limb injury, but not immediately life-threatening. We had six critical patients, and one patient died.
That person, a drowning victim, dead on arrival to the hospital. Meanwhile, one man whose niece and nephew were on the school bus that plunged with the bridge found his nephew here.
Well, they are pretty scared. We are pretty scared.
He says the 12-year-old cannot walk, but at least he's alive. Doctors expect they'll see even more victims throughout the night.
We expect patients to be trickling in, but those would fall in the walking wounded category.
Dr. Joseph Clinton there saying that he was very pleased with the way things have happened this evening. Their plans, their drills for this sort of disaster have worked and done well for them. They've had very few transportation problems. Even communication has gone pretty well. And I can tell you they also asked for us to pass along a number for people who are trying to contact patients and check on loved ones here at Hennepin County Medical Center. The number to call is 612-873-3400. Live at HCMC. Beth Jett, 5 Eyewitness. News.
Thanks, Beth. Governor Pawlenty, Minneapolis Mayor Ryback talking about this emergency situation within the last hour and 15 minutes or so. Brad sat and heard from both of them. He's live at the command center at City Hall. Brad?
John, you're right. Some very troubled public officials in this news conference about an hour ago. Governor was here. Mayor Ryback was here. Police Chief Dolan was here. Red Cross officials here. Obviously, they are saying the search goes on right now. Federal, state, and local authorities are all involved, coming from around the nation, we're told. Here is some of the news conference. Again, it ended about 1 hour ago.
response. I was on site earlier this evening and had a chance to visit and see the site. It is obviously a catastrophe, and first and foremost, we want to say to the families who are being impacted by this that our hearts and prayers are with you, but we also want to make sure that you know that we are doing everything we can to make sure that we respond as quickly as we can to the needs of this emergency.
We have significant resources on site. At this point, we have searched approximately 50 cars. We have confirmed 6 dead, and we are continuing the search. We have concern that this will be a very tragic night when it is over.
Perimeter security is our main concern right now, and we are clearing out those areas. You'll see officers checking other bridges. That's just as a precaution. We don't believe at this time that we have anything other than a bridge collapse.
That news conference about 9 o'clock tonight. At that time, they told us in about an hour or two they would be back here to update us. We know they are over at the scene, and certainly when they get back here, we will bring you that update. Live in Minneapolis, Brad Satin, 5 Eyewitness News.
Thanks, Brad. That was the first we heard from the mayor, too, about the confirmed 6 fatalities in this disaster so far. Now, Bob McNaney's been watching the scene from Chopper 5 for the last few hours. Bob, tell us what you've been seeing lately.
Well, what we've seen, John, is there's no slowing in terms of the effort, the number of vehicles on the scene, and the traffic around the area, thankfully, has stayed pretty clear of the scene itself. A reminder to people, at least to the east, you can't get close to downtown on 35. You can't get any closer than Rosedale. So they are keeping people a considerable distance away as you look down at the lights that have been brought in, and presumably there'll be more lights to try to allow crews to keep looking throughout the evening. I can tell you firsthand, I've been on stories where there's water involved in nighttime like this, when they're looking for potential drowning victims, and it's very, very difficult. And the mayor essentially alluded to that as well by saying he thinks it could be a tragic night. They still don't know, they being the officials, exactly how many people are still unaccounted for, at least they haven't said. And it would be very difficult to know for sure at this point as well. Again, the National Transportation Safety Board chair is en route to the Twin Cities. A jump team will be here as well. That is very similar to a plane crash where they go in, and sometimes the very smallest of pieces will help them understand why a tragedy like this happened. Earlier tonight, I talked to Paul McKay from the FBI here in the Twin Cities. Also, sources in Washington with federal authorities are saying that at this point, there is no indication that this was any sort of terrorism or that this was some sort of deliberate, malicious crime. It may just be a very tragic accident. John and Cindy?
Thanks, Bob. Our reporters got there quickly tonight. They were some of the first on the scene. In fact, Steve Shaw and his photographer, Kevin Bubach, were there even before many of the emergency vehicles. Steve is back in our newsroom right now to tell us what he saw. Steve?
When we got the call, we were some of the first to get to the scene. When we got there, quite frankly, we couldn't believe what we saw.
This is Dave Thompson at the talk station AM 1500 KSTP. Folks, we are going to try to pass along to you this evening summary information or information that may be of value to you as we start resuming life tomorrow morning without this bridge on 35W. And something that you possibly should know, depending upon where you live, is that the Metro Transit plans added bus service from the North Metro. Metro Transit tonight, that's this evening, announced that it will offer additional bus service from its North Metro park and ride locations to downtown Minneapolis beginning Thursday morning to help reduce congestion that will result from the I-35W bridge collapse. 25 extra buses will be pressed into service between 6 and 9 a.m. And folks, this is already tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, between 6 and 9 a.m. to supplement existing transit service from these park and ride locations. Let me list them for you. Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids, which is between Coon Rapids Boulevard and East River Road near 610, served by routes 850 and 852. That's 850 and 852. Maplewood Mall near Beam and South Lawn Avenues, served by Route 270. Northtown Shopping Center in Blaine at 85th and Jefferson, served by routes 824, 852, and 854. 63rd Avenue, County Road 81, which is Botano Boulevard in Brooklyn Center, served by routes 758 and 767. Rosedale Shopping Center in Roseville, served by Route 260. Roseville City Hall, County Road C and Civic Center Drive, Grace Lutheran Church, Hamlin Avenue, and County Road B2, served by Route 261. Going to give you those route numbers again, just the route numbers quickly. 850 and 852, 270, 824, and also 852 down by Northtown and 854. 758, 767, Route 260 and 261. Metro Transit staff will be on hand at these boarding locations to assist new customers. Afternoon return service to these locations will be beefed up as well. Metro Transit General Manager Brian Lamb said the plans for added service will evolve in the days ahead. He encouraged North Metro Transit residents to watch for details on the agency's website. So you can find out, folks, in detail the information that I've given you by going to metrotransit.org or by calling an information specialist at 612-373-3333 between 6:30 a.m. and 9 p.m. on weekdays and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on weekends. Laura Kaplan with the Memorial Blood Center gave an update on the blood supply. The Memorial Blood Center is encouraging people who want to help to call 888-GIVE-BLOOD. That's 1-888-GIVE-BLD. Give BLD tomorrow between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m., and they can either make a donation with blood or finances. Many people, according to Nancy Fox, have been calling in here as well as the television station asking what to do. Giving blood may be one of the things that could be helpful. That's 888-GIVE-BLD. Also, for those of you that are that work or attend the University of Minnesota, the Twin Cities campus will remain open tomorrow, Thursday, August 2nd. All classes and operations will proceed as planned. All right, we'll be back in just a few moments here with an update, but right now we'll return to continuing coverage with 5 Eyewitness News.
On many calling loved ones by cell phone, telling them that they were all right. The memories of this day will last a lifetime. Joe Mazin, 5 Eyewitness News.
All right, Joe, thanks. Christy Peel's with us now, and she has been at the Holiday Inn Metrodome, where it's a family center, a gathering point for loved ones there. Christy?
Well, John, I'm right outside in the Seven Corners area, the Holiday Inn Metrodome, like you mentioned. And let me give you an idea of just how close I am to the rescue operation going on. You can see it's just less than a block away. And this is where the family is being asked to come to talk with the American Red Cross. They're coming here, and so many of them just are looking for answers. We were here as one woman came in and said she was looking for her son. There's about 10 people meeting with the chaplains, the pastors inside. They're also talking with mental health professionals who are standing by to deal with them in this moment of crisis. Again, many of them want to know where their loved ones are, but it may be days before they have any answers.
Well, you just weep at this or weep at this time. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can say. There's nothing really that you... Mostly you just listen. Obviously, on a day like today, people are not asking deep theological questions. They're asking more, why me? And so that's what the chaplain's down there trying to do.
Certainly some very emotional stories here. We were standing outside as one woman was just standing outside of the hotel. She didn't even want to go inside. She said that she was watching TV, watching the news coverage. She saw someone who looked like her missing loved one come out of the wreckage holding his bleeding shoulder. She doesn't know where he is or how she can find him. She's hoping that just by being here, someone, one of the rescue workers who are coming in here also for mental health help, may have recognized him, may know his name, and could give her some answers. People coming here just to get any help that they can. The blessing in all of this is that there are so many people here to help. Reporting live, Christy Peel, 5 Eyewitness News.
Critical to this effort, of course, is the Red Cross, a news conference going on right now.
Just in the last several minutes to a recovery mode, which means we're going to be very careful not to hurt any rescuers or any other people working at the site. And we're going to continue to operate in that mode through the evening and through the day tomorrow. With that, I'm going to pass it to Chief Lubinsky.
I'm Sherry Lubinsky, Assistant Chief of the Minneapolis Police Department. First of all, we are working hand-in-hand with our partners from the fire department on this incident. And we also have a number of partners from other law enforcement agencies in the state and the county helping us, and we appreciate that. Two things I want to mention is that for those who are wondering about friends or relatives, we have a gathering at the Holiday Inn Metrodome for those who are looking for information on possible survivors or someone involved in this incident, and we have put that information out. The second thing looks forward to tomorrow morning in terms of coming in and going out of downtown Minneapolis. We are working on a transportation plan right now that will assure access into and out of downtown Minneapolis for tomorrow. We will be posting that on the city of of Minneapolis website, along with other information that we are providing, like the Red Cross number for other outstate relatives of possible people involved. So please look at the City of Minneapolis website. We encourage anyone who is going to be coming into downtown Minneapolis tomorrow to absolutely avoid the area, be considerate of those who were involved in this incident, be considerate of the rescuers that are going to be at the scene tomorrow, and also just please take your time, use patience, and be considerate of everyone there.
Good evening, I'm Ted Canova with the Twin Cities Red Cross. Our hearts go out to everybody affected by this tragedy. We were able to watch firsthand the heroism, but also the cooperation and the partnership of a lot of agencies in the Twin Cities tonight. I think people at home should be proud of the response that folks around me and the people who report to them turned in tonight and are still turning in. The Twin Cities Red Cross, fortunately, had a plan. We were ready. We housed the 60 kids from the school bus and gave them comfort in the immediate moments after the emergency. We gave them mental health counseling when they needed it. We passed on maybe a dozen of 60 kids to the hospital, and we were there waiting as families came down to the Twin Cities Red Cross chapter headquarters at a time where the families were reunited with at least 40 or 45 kids. As I say, we were ready. Our blood supply is in good shape, but it's only because people have donated in the past, and I don't think that the Twin Cities community should take this lightly. While we may be ready in that regard, we always need to collect for the next one. And we are being inundated at the Twin Cities Red Cross from everybody asking what can they do, which isn't unusual in an emergency like this. The generosity of the Twin Cities is second to none, we all know. And I just wanted to give some information in case people had the inkling to contribute in some way, to donate blood or to donate money. They can go to our website, which is redcrosstc.org. Or they can call our donation hotline, which is 612-460-3700. Again, it's with heavy hearts that we even share this information, but the better we're prepared, the better we can serve the public in times like this. Thank you.
Can you touch on the telephone number for family members to call?
Yes. Again, we wanted to streamline the information, the places to call. The City of Minneapolis website is a great clearinghouse. The Twin Cities Red Cross website also will have all the information for folks to call. Our homepage is being updated every 10 minutes, so it's got the latest information for folks. Whether you have a loved one involved in this tragedy or just need other information.
Chief, can you talk a little bit about what that recovery effort will entail tomorrow morning at first light?
Well, when we move from a rescue to recovery mode, we want to search every void space. When you have a collapse of freeway spans like this, there's a lot of void spaces that are hard to get into, and we don't want to get into those spaces until it's safe to do so. So what that means is we'll be slowly, along with engineers, structural engineers, letting us know when it's safe and where it's safe to go to get into those void spaces and make sure that we've looked everywhere.
At this point, still too early to tell what happened. Is there any inkling as to how this happened?
No, I think what's going to happen, and I know what's going to happen starting tomorrow, is federal, state, and city experts are going to be looking at this span of bridge to make that determination. It's way too early for us to speculate. It is a total collapse of a significant section of the freeway, and so there was something went wrong, and we're going to get to the bottom of what happened. We just don't know yet tonight what that was.
What is the likelihood you would be able to locate any more survivors at this hour?
The likelihood goes down at this point. We've been where we think survivors could be so far. It is possible that throughout the night and tomorrow we may locate somebody else that is a survivor, but the likelihood is getting fairly slim.
What is going on as far as checks of other bridges at this hour?
I just actually talked with the Public Works Director from Minneapolis, and that is a concern, especially downriver. When you have a collapse like this, some of the material will flow downriver, and so they are looking at bridges downriver to make sure that the piers and those things are safe. for operations.
Chief Lubinsky, can you give us an idea how you basically reached a conclusion that does not appear to be terrorism at this point? Are there certain things that you'd expect to see right away that you didn't see that would get you to this point?
Sure. I think we had our own Homeland Security people on scene almost immediately, and we are in contact with other agencies who, along with Chief Clack, are doing an examination of some of those bridges. So we had no indication that anything like that was involved, but we were also double-checking and triple-checking to make sure.
So it appears to be a structural problem at this point.
As best we can tell, but it's way too early to say.
Any update on the construction workers, how many there were and how many they accounted for?
We actually don't know that yet. What we do know is the numbers I gave you earlier. We have 7 fatalities, and we know that we've transported over 60 people to area hospitals, to the University of Minnesota Hospital, Hennepin County Medical Center, and North Memorial. And we don't have any information on the condition of those people. We're going to have to leave it to the hospitals to get you that. As far as how many construction workers or even how many cars were on those spans, we just don't know that yet.
What was the number 50 that was thrown out?
Welcome back to the Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP. I'm Dave Thompson, breaking in from our continuing live coverage, giving you the feed from our sister station, 5 Eyewitness News, Channel 5. We do want to get you updated on the big stories tonight. The 35W bridge near the university, the west bank of the university, collapsed about 6:05. There has now been 7 confirmed deaths and I believe 41 injured. The rescue efforts continue as the crews are on the scene. Obviously, darkness starting to hamper that rescue effort, but they're continuing to do that. I want to provide to you folks in summary fashion as we talk to you every half hour here or so, some information that may be of value to you depending upon your situation. If you are a family member or friend concerned about someone who you have not yet accounted for, the number to call at the Red Cross is 612-871-7676. Let me give you that again, 612-871-7676. You as a caller can leave a message and someone will return your call as soon as possible. Also, for those of you commuting in from the northern metropolitan area tomorrow, obviously we have some serious traffic issues now that this bridge has collapsed, and the Metropolitan Transit is adding bus service from the North Metro. They will be adding significant capacity between 6 and 9 a.m. inbound. They will also be beefing up the outbound routes in the afternoon drive. And I'm going to quickly go over these stops. Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids. That's between Coon Rapids Boulevard near East River Road. That affects routes 850 and 852. Maplewood Mall, which serves route 270. Northtown Shopping Center in Blaine, which serves routes 824, 852, and 854. 63rd Avenue, County Road 81 in Brooklyn Center, serving routes 758 and 767. Rosedale Shopping Center in Roseville, serving routes 260. And Roseville City Hall, Grace Lutheran Church, which serves route 261. Also, for those of you unfamiliar with how the bus system works, if you're a new rider because of this situation, the Metro Transit Commission will have additional staff on hand to assist you. You can also, obviously, I'm reading these quickly, and you may not get them all, so you can go to metrotransit.org, metrotransit.org, to learn more about the details of this additional service. Also, many have called Channel 5 as well as KSTP AM here to ask how they can perhaps help. One of the ways you can help is by either providing financial assistance or blood itself to the blood supply effort. And you can do that by calling 1-888-GIVE-BLD tomorrow between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. To do that. The University of Minnesota is planning on remaining open tomorrow and holding classes as usual. The Twins lost tonight in 10 innings to the Kansas City Royals 5-3. That game was not carried here for obvious reasons. The Twins game did take place because folks were already by and large at the Metrodome by the time this bridge situation happened. Tomorrow's ball game has been postponed. It was a 12:10 start scheduled against the Kansas City Royals. That postponed game will be made up when the Royals make a return trip to the Twin Cities later this fall, or at least that is the perception. Also, the groundbreaking ceremony that was supposed to take place tomorrow will not be taking place. The information I've given you, you heard earlier here with Matt Thomas when he interviewed Twins President Dave St. Peter. Again, we will be breaking in with these updates to try to give you some information. Also, just here along the communications line, I don't know how helpful this is, but apparently the amateur radio emergency networks in the area have been activated in order to support emergency activities with backup communications and bridge communications between affected agencies. And for those of you who are into that sort of thing, I don't know what kind of help that provides, but that is up and running. So once again, we're going to return you now to Channel 5 as they continue their coverage. KSTP is not going to go to the satellite tonight. You'll not be hearing Coast to Coast with George Norrie. We will be doing some combination of staying with Channel 5 to keep you updated on the very latest from this bridge accident. And then I will be cutting in with these updates as needed and perhaps even just do some regular live programming later in the evening. But you do not need to go anywhere else to stay up on the very latest regarding this bridge collapse. We'll have it right here for you on the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP.
1,900 feet long and is 64 feet above the Mississippi. Now, it was designed to span the river without any supports in the water. The goal there, to avoid having those big cement piers in the river, which would get in the way of traffic. That means the bridge spans 458 feet between the supports there. And we spoke with Minnesota Transportation Commissioner, who served under Governor Rudy Perpich. He told us something pretty alarming tonight, that between 40 and 50% of the 20,000 bridges in Minnesota are deficient in some way.
But the number itself is alarming because it's a very high number. And so when you look at the overall statewide bridge system, it calls for enhanced inspection and improvements. Now, whether that means that people should be afraid to go over bridges, no, they're not. I mean, I will continue to drive over bridges, as you will. But we need an aggressive program to rebuild the infrastructure.
Well, Levine goes on to say this is a nationwide problem, a crisis, as he puts it. He says there will be a lot of finger pointing before this is all over. And in fact, one of those who appears anyway to be already pointing fingers is structural engineer Timothy Gallarn, who we spoke with earlier tonight.
My goodness, that is a significant factor.
All right, what does that mean?
That means that whoever did the inspection, which was likely to be MnDOT, noticed and observed cracking in the structural steel members, the main girders that hold the bridge up in the air. What means is that the bridge is no longer going to stay stable.
There you heard it live in the newsroom. Jessica Miles, 5 Eyewitness News. John, Cindy.
All right, thanks very much. Now, a man sitting at home felt the building shake as the bridge collapsed. He looked out of his window and saw unfolding what was going to shock us for the next several hours. Leah McLean joining us live with his story. Leah.
Cindy, I'm talking here to Dustin Hassett. He lives in this building. It's dark. I don't know if you can see it, but it's right behind us. The emergency crew is still out here. Dustin, you said you had the TV on and the air conditioning. You didn't actually hear it, but somebody called you. What did you see when you looked out your window?
Yeah, like I said, I was just sitting around in my apartment, and I got a call in. So the bridge collapsed, so I went over to look over. I saw about, 25, maybe 30 cop cars just all in one big group. I couldn't really see it, so I went over to the other side of the building and looked out to see where it actually collapsed. And, the only thing you see at that time is just a big cloud of brown smoke.
You knew this was something unusual as soon as you saw it. What did you think when you went out and took a look?
Oh, absolutely. I honestly had no idea what was going on. Once I actually got out there and looked at everyone running around, it was just pandemonium. I couldn't even believe what's happening, even what they were telling me on TV.
You have crime tape all around your apartment now. You said for the next few days it's probably going to be difficult just getting in and out of your home. Do you have any idea what you're going to do?
I have absolutely no idea. Right now my car is crime taped up, And so it's the intersection to drive out of here, so I honestly have no idea how I'm getting out of here.
All right, Dustin, thanks. We also have Dustin's roommate over here. His name is Caleb Barton. And Caleb was actually coming home. He usually comes in on 35W. You got stuck in the middle of all of this. What happened as you were trying to come home?
I just got a phone call from my friend to get off of 35W. I exited on Lake Street, came home. When I started getting close, I could see all the smoke from the bridge going down, and there was just people everywhere. I couldn't get into my, couldn't get onto my street. And then as soon as I actually got home, I got onto my roof and just started taking pictures and watching the whole thing unfold.
What kinds of things did you see? What kinds of things did you take pictures of when you were up on the roof?
A lot of the helicopters coming in and out. I saw a lot of the boats trudging the lake, and I couldn't see too much because the vantage point I had blocked the whole side of the bridge that collapsed on this side. But I saw looking out, I just saw people running everywhere. I mean, cops and fire trucks coming in and out nonstop.
And like so many people in the area, you probably got a lot of phone calls from your loved ones. What kinds of things were they saying to you?
Just like, are you okay? Where are you? But my phone died, so as soon as I got back on, there was like 20 text messages. It was like, oh my God, where are you? And all this other stuff. But I don't know, a lot of just, are you okay? And where are you and stuff.
People shocked all over here. All right, Caleb, thanks. These roommates who live in the building, literally right across the street from 35W, look out their window to see this disaster as it's happening, still reacting and still just trying to figure out how they're going to be getting in and out of their apartment for the next few days, as so many other commuters are trying to figure out all across parts of the metro. We're live in Minneapolis. Leah McLean, 5 Witnesses.
All right, now we have joining us here Steve Olson. Steve Olson is a professor at the University of Minnesota. He's a bridge engineer, also works for a private consulting firm.
And you were talking about this bridge. We had you on earlier on the phone, by the way. You were talking about the 35W bridge and what kind of bridge it is and the history of this bridge, when it was built. Tell us more about the bridge.
It was designed in the early 60s. It was constructed in 67, the same time the Silver Bridge collapsed over the Ohio River, which started the National Bridge Inspection Program. Prior to that, there was no national program to go out and inspect bridges on a routine basis. There's two typical types of bridge inspections: routine, which are more conventional bridges receive, and the more critical bridges receive fracture critical inspections. And MnDOT has special teams that goes out and inspects those bridges.
You believe this is a well-inspected bridge?
I believe MnDOT does an excellent job of monitoring and taking care of their bridges.
Can you learn anything from the description that we've heard from a couple of eyewitnesses that the bridge collapsed in the middle and then the ends gave way?
It's just too early to even try to conjecture.
Two pieces of information that I want to run by right here, and we talked about these earlier too. This is a report from the University of Minnesota, March 2001. Robert Dexter, who you referenced, who did a lot of work inspecting bridges. The quote here is, "The research helped determine that the fatigue cracking of the deck truss is not likely, which means that the bridge should not have any problems with fatigue cracking in the foreseeable future." You're familiar with that?
Yes.
Tell us more about that.
So MnDOT contracted with the university to do the research. They put some instrumentation on the bridge. They ran some trucks over the bridges. They measured the strains in the different members of the bridge, and Dr. Dexter arrived at that conclusion.
And basically what that is saying then, and we have it written here in kind of layman's language, studied the bridge, found it was okay.
Correct.
Fair to say?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, this is, we were pulling up some research on the bridge. It comes from 2006, and it says, monitor fatigue cracking, apparently the result of another inspection. Monitor fatigue cracking from out of plane bending at the approach span girders and the diaphragm connections. It's a different part of the bridge?
Yeah, so the main part of the bridge has the two trusses, which are in the main direction of traffic movement.
Mm-hmm.
On each end of the bridge are approach spans with a collection of beams set up next to each other, and those are what's referred to in that note there. And so there's lots of beam lines to carry load on the approaches. There's only two trusses in the main road.
Does this refer to a part of the bridge that collapsed?
I haven't been to the site, and I can't comment on that.
Is there any warning that goes off when you see the phrase monitor fatigue cracking?
It gets everyone's attention when there's cracking, so it's not unusual to get extra attention.
How often are bridges like this inspected? Is there a federal regulation, state regulation?
The federal regulation is that it needs to be inspected every 2 years. MnDOT, for the most part, looks at every bridge every year. It needs an exception to get to a two-year cycle.
And, in fact, Governor Plenty did say earlier that in 2005-2006, the bridge was inspected by MnDOT and showed no signs of any fatigue.
To say that the MnDOT bridge inspectors are veterans is a bit of an understatement. That's a pretty well-practiced department, is it not?
Yeah, MnDOT is leaders nationally in a lot of portions of bridge engineering.
There certainly is a lot we don't know. Let's talk about how we're going to find out more, how the people who are coming in to look at this will find out more. What types of things in the next 48, 72 hours will they be doing?
I guess I would expect Dr. Bill Wright from FHWA to come into town from Turner Fairbanks Lab. He'll bring in a crack team of people to work with MnDOT and other investigators to determine the cost.
This bridge is in pieces. It's in millions of pieces. Will they be able to find what happened here based on their level of expertise?
I believe they can, yeah.
Where do you look? How do you start? What's the one clue that somebody might hope to find?
I think it takes a long time, but they'll probably extract as many pieces as they can, take them off-site, and try to put the pieces together. The Silver Bridge, which collapsed, had a flaw in an I-bar, which they were able to locate, you know, months later.
Uh-huh. When you say a flaw, how big was the flaw?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
You're a bridge engineer by profession, and you look at the video that we were just showing, that we've showed all night, and that affects you how?
It just, the human tragedy is the bridge construction, design, and engineering community places public safety in the highest regard, and so, you know, it's a shock to everyone, and it compromises what we try to do to protect the public.
Okay. Dr. Steve Olson, faculty member at the U, works for a private engineering firm and a bridge engineer. Thanks for joining us here tonight. I appreciate it. Yeah. Stay right there for just a second. We're going to move on.
Yeah, many of the victims tonight, as we told you about, there were 60 at this point counted injured, taken to Hennepin County Medical Center. That's where Colleen Mahoney has been all night. Colleen?
HCMC not expecting any more patients tonight, but they did come in waves for about a three-hour period this evening. Some women were actually delivered here off of the back of a flatbed truck. Medical crews working on men, women, and children with cuts, bruises, and internal injuries. The total number here at HCMC, 28 injured, 6 of them critical, 4 getting surgery tonight, and of course that 1 fatality by drowning. But doctors do not expect others to be rushed here this evening.
It looks like the scene at the bridge, from the information we have, is largely a recovery operation at this time.
My brother-in-law is at a hospital at North Memorial in Robbinsdale, and we can't find my sister.
How is he?
I've heard 2 stories. He's hurt and my sister's not, but now I've heard she's hurt more.
Michelle West rushing here to see her 2 nieces and trying to find answers about other relatives. One of many panicked people trying to get information on their loved ones. The hospital says it is working right now to connect people to their families. As you can imagine, a very emotional scene here tonight. Of course, the hospital in a sort of emergency mode, a disaster mode, one they call orange. They said things went as well as can be expected, but again, so many people trying to get answers tonight. Back to you.
Colleen, thanks a lot. Now we're going to talk about one of the vehicles that was in the middle of this accident. It is a school bus that was filled with kids who were returning from a field trip, part of their summer activities. We've shown you the video of that school bus at about a 30-degree angle on a collapsed bridge span. The kids got out okay. Glenn Barber live with one man who was on that bus. Glenn?
And, John, it may be difficult to see from this vantage point in the darkness here on the 10th Street Bridge, but right behind me we are just about 200 or 300 yards from where the bridge buckled on the north side of 35W. Just moments after this happened, on the other side of the river, survivors began climbing up off of the bridge. Take a look at the chaotic scene. Among the first that we encountered were children who were on that bus. Paramedics started taking care of the kids right away. Many of the children were rescued from the bus by other drivers who were on the bridge at the time of the collapse. One man who was on the bridge told us that it just felt like the road beneath them simply collapsed, and then there was a powerful impact. dozens of children were screaming just minutes after getting off that bus. An adult who was on the bus named James Hansen, who was okay, told us that he was worried for the safety of the others.
I don't remember anything until on the sidewalk I was laying next to my boss and she couldn't feel her legs.
You guys were on a school bus.
We were on, it's a youth program. We were on our way back from a field trip.
Now, just after that accident, children were on the side of the river, and people who were coming up who witnessed it heard the loud collapse and then came up to see what happened. Those people who just happened to be on the sidewalk started offering up their cell phones to those children. Dozens and dozens of cell phones handed over to the children so that they could call their parents. At the same time, dozens of other children were taken off to area hospitals. As we've been hearing from our colleagues over at the hospital, it does appear that everyone on that bus survived, which is a true miracle tonight. Reporting live in Minneapolis, I'm Glenn Barber, 5 Eyewitness News.
Glenn, you witnessed the number of people who were trying to help out in whatever way they can. Hundreds of people rushing to the scene to help out the victims. Mark Albert spoke with a lot of them. They wanted to pitch in. They wanted to help. He's live on University Avenue. Mark?
And Cindy, we see in disaster after disaster right afterwards, lots of people running away from the scene. We saw that today, but also we saw hundreds, if not thousands, of people running toward it. As flames continued to lick at the crumpled bridge and smoke filled the raw chasm of concrete, thousands rushed to see the devastation and to help.
We called out the hospital to let them know what was happening, but 911 was jammed, actually, and you couldn't even get through.
I'm CPR trainer and first aid certified, so I decided to come down and see if I could help at all. And apparently we're not able to help yet.
Does that make you frustrated?
It does, because I'd like to be able to get down there and actually try to help somebody out.
Think about the parking lot here. We don't know what's going to happen with that.
Everybody, we're moving this back.
The faces told of shock and dismay, of worry and disbelief.
There's a car on fire right there. It's crushed. There's some dead people.
Crews on the University Avenue Southeast on-ramp to 35W South began erecting barricades, keeping people away, as more rescue boats headed to the river for those still trapped hours after the horror began. And just really incredible to see those pictures of people lined up on all of the surrounding bridges and the overpasses here, looking on at this scene, many with their cell phones out, their cameras out, getting text messages and voicemails from people across the country. I know I've received a lot today, asking if we're okay, asking what people can do to help, and certainly that is a theme out here tonight. I'm joined now by my colleague, Allison Triarcy. Allison, you have some new information tonight.
I do. Thank you very much, Mark. I have just learned from sources that what you're seeing behind me is being considered a recovery mission in progress. I have been told 5 bodies have been pulled out from the north end of this bridge collapse. They are still trying to recover 2 more people who are apparently in the wreckage, and they can't get to them yet. Behind me is the bridge. There is a concern here right now that this structure is unstable, that in fact it could be bowing down a bit and could collapse further. Hence, that's the reason why I keep getting moved and pushed further and further away from this bridge, as with all of our crews and the people who are here, as a safety precaution in case more damage, in case more of this bridge starts to fall. That is the very latest information from the north end. Reporting live, Allison Triarcy, 5 Eyewitness News.
Allison, please, for one second, if you could stay with us, tell us the numbers again about the numbers you're hearing about the recovery mission.
The numbers I'm hearing on the north end, they have recovered 5 bodies. They are still trying to recover 2 more. I do not know how that adds to our numbers of people who have lost their lives tonight, but simply that there is a recovery effort going on right now from this end.
All right, thanks for that. We won't speculate on if that adds to the death toll of 7 that the fire chief told us about a half hour ago. Chris O'Connell, live with a family that lives nearby, saw the collapse happen. Chris?
Yeah, this is absolutely one of the biggest catastrophes the Twin Cities has ever seen. We arrived to the scene about 20 minutes after this bridge collapsed. We left the newsroom, got here on the scene. We saw people running from the scene. We saw people just trying to figure out what happened at 6 o'clock at the height of rush hour. My photographer, Jared, I got to the scene. Here's what he saw through his camera lens. The scene almost unimaginable. More than a quarter mile of one of the Twin Cities' busiest highways. Now a pile of rubble. Cars hanging by a thread, stopped in their tracks, dangling in the wreckage. The south side of I-35W buckled like a paperclip. In between, the sections of highway, an 18-wheeler and an SUV pinned in the concrete. Crews plucking victims from the Mississippi as the rescue continues into the dark of night. As we bring you back out here live, we're on the south end of the bridge on I-35W. You see where all those trucks are, that is emergency vehicles, and you see the University of Avenue sign. Right after that is where this bridge buckled, basically bent like a paperclip. I know because I was under that bridge. I saw it with my own eyes. I saw a 18-wheeler sandwiched between two sections of highway on fire. An SUV was in there. That was on fire as well. I don't even know if there was a driver inside. We got a couple guys. Were you guys at the scene? Come on, real quick. Join me live. You from National Guard?
Yes, sir.
What did you see down there? Tell me what you saw.
There's a lot of bridge collapse, trying to make sure everyone's all right, still hydrated, just taking care of people.
I understand there could be still people trapped in the voids in the concrete of the wreckage. You heard anything about that? Can you tell us what's going on right now?
No, sir. I really don't know. If there's somebody out there, I'll try and get to them.
You're National Guard. You came on your own volition, came
yes,
down.
Sir.
Have you heard about it?
Yes, sir. I was waiting to get a call. No one called, so I just came down.
This is exactly what's happening. National Guardsman, what is your name, sir?
I'm Scott Newth.
Scott Newth, thanks for coming down, and I appreciate your work you do in the service. Red Bull.
Yes, sir.
Great, thanks a lot. That's exactly what's happening down here. People wanting to volunteer their time, doing whatever they can, pitching in whatever way possible, whether it's trying to come down here searching for victims, whether it's people trying to give blood, give food and drink to rescue workers. It's that kind of scene unfolding, and this is just the beginning. I'm sure when day falls, it is going to be a much different story as well as this situation continues to develop, guys.
Glad you caught that guy, Chris. He deserves all the thanks we can give him. Now, it's going to be a restless night in the Twin Cities for a lot of people because of what they've seen tonight, but for a lot of people because they're going to wonder how they're going to get to work tomorrow morning. Well, Metro Transit announced plans to try to help move people around. 25 extra buses will be in service between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. at these stations. Take a look at them. We'll leave them on the screen and tell you about them. Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids, Maplewood Mall, Northtown Shopping Center, 63rd Avenue and County Road 81 in Brooklyn Center, Rosedale Shopping Center, and Roseville City Hall. Afternoon service will also be beefed up. Now, we ran through the locations pretty quickly. If you want to check again, go to our website. We have this information on the website if you want to take a longer look at it.
As you notice, that's all on the north side of the city because north-south routes from 35, that's going to be obstructed to the river. Here are your alternates. It's pretty simple here in this respect. It's a box. You can either take 94, you can go up 280, or you can take 694 across. Probably the best bet, as everybody has been saying, is just avoid it. The far routes, the 169, Highway 100 on the west side, they should not be affected, although you might be expecting some extra traffic as the rush hour gets underway, and you know there are going to be gawkers around that core, the heart of the city right there.
If you are not a creature of public transit, I get that, but you might want to be one tomorrow because it's going to be pretty rough out there. Let's talk about Rod Simons, our sports director, who suddenly got into the middle of the story talking to people who got onto the bridge, survived the collapse, and then tried to help people off. Rod?
John and Cindy, ironically, we were on the other side of town at the Target Center where the Timberwolves were going to introduce all the new players that they had received in the Kevin Garnett trade. We heard about the bridge collapse. At the time, it was on the air. We dashed over, but at the time that it happened, Glenn Taylor was very, very anxious, the owner of the Wolves, because his granddaughter was on the bridge coming this way. We find out tonight that she is okay, but there were some very, very anxious moments for the Timberwolves. We got along West River Parkway. I saw dozens of people come up from the riverbanks. They headed to the Red Cross where we were. We talked earlier to Gary Babineau. He was very, very anxious because he was on the bridge. He fell 30 to 40 feet, helped get people, get kids out of that bus that we have been talking about. I talked to his fiance just an hour ago, 2 weeks from the delivery of their first child. Having a baby girl of my own, I know how excited and grateful he is to be alive tonight. Chuck Hoffman, Steve Moe. We ran into a family called the Winnegars from Houston. They were here introducing their daughter to the University of Minnesota. They had just finished doing some shopping at the Mall of America. We're coming back. There are just the fabric of the Twin Cities was on that bridge tonight. Everybody had a story. Some people going home, some people just visiting, and all very, very happy to be alive tonight after this tragic accident.
All right, thanks very much, Rod. Let's go to Bob McNaney. Most of the night, he was high above the skies in Chopper 5. Bob, where are you right now?
Well, we've actually set down, Cindy, because we know that it's going to be critically important to give people a look at the scene at first light. So we'll be launching Chopper 5 again at 4:30 tomorrow morning. So that we're down for just a couple of hours because we know that the story in the morning is going to be a significant one. The mayor, Mayor Ryback, indicated that he was fearful and expecting it to be a more tragic night. We heard Allison talking about the bodies that they're trying to reach. So clearly the darkness is in a sense, despite all the spotlights that you see out there, darkness is certainly masking the degree of this tragedy. And come first light, we'll be back up in Chopper 5. And I suspect in the next 3, 4, 5 hours, the story will change. And there is no grand expectation that things will get better.
But we are expecting, and you have been in touch with National Transportation folks over the course of the evening. And we are expecting a pretty good contingent here by tomorrow midday, I would guess.
Absolutely. Throughout the course of the night, I've been able to talk to federal officials both here in the Twin Cities and in Washington. And the chair, in fact, of the National Transportation Safety Board is en route to the Twin Cities tonight from Florida. He's bringing a jump team with him. Those are experts who will piece together what happened, very much like a plane crash. Sometimes, you asked your expert a few minutes ago if they'll ever get to the bottom of this. And these folks are very confident they can. They look at the smallest little things, and sometimes that tells a very big picture. So we know that the federal government is already bringing some of their top people in overnight. They'll be here, and then look for them to be here for several days. Also, the Minnesota Congressional and Senate contingency, they've already promised that they will do what they can to get the governments here to get all the funding and resources that the Twin Cities need. So, frankly, people are in a great state of shock tonight. Tomorrow morning will be an extraordinarily difficult day. People would have been up all night. New people will be coming in. And a bit of the reality of what has happened certainly will be a big part of tomorrow, as it is in any significant tragedy.
All right, you are now listening to the talk station AM 1500 K.